Welcome to Fluff On, a bi-weekly podcast about all things yarn. Join me, Jackie D, as we discuss projects, materials, patterns and books, a bit of history, and the shifting culture surrounding fibercraft. I thought that for my first episode that I would keep it sort of simple and allow myself to find my podcasting voice, I guess. So I wanted to start with telling the story of how I came to open my small yarn shop. Not because it is remarkable in any sort of fashion. And I think maybe that's the important part anyone with a passion, I really feel, can do this. You kind of just have to jump in head first. So hopefully, by sharing my story, there's someone else out there that will want to jump in and join the fiber community as a small yarn shop owner. My journey to owning a teeny tiny yarn shop was sort of an odd one. Not remarkable, but odd. And if I look back at the past decade of my life, I can't even say that this was really on my radar, even as a fairly avid knitter. However, if 2020 gave us anything as a whole, it certainly left a lot of time for reflection. And for me, that reflection included my past work experiences, my desire to potentially continue my education, which I did try in the fall of 2020, a full class load, while pregnant with baby number 4. And it just felt like nothing was coming together for me career-wise. And I'm sure to anyone looking in from the outside, it looked like a hot mess. Fast forward, now we're in the fall of 2020. We're all sort of used to being at home, I suppose, to some extent. And I really felt a desire, like many people, to reach out and support my local businesses, knowing that many were struggling. I realized one of the things that I purchase on a regular basis is yarn. Now, we've only lived in this area for a few years, so I was ordering most of my yarn online, to be honest. I realized, sort of a town over, there was a small yarn shop, but unfortunately, by the time I figured it out, she had closed. That was August of 2020. Not COVID related, but nonetheless, she had decided that it was an opportune time for retirement, I suppose. And I sort of took that and sat on it for a little bit, and I think something snuck in, and I started to think, could this be opportunity? Absolutely not. No. After working a ridiculous number of retail jobs on and off for years before swearing it off completely, there was no way that I was thinking about this seriously, right? Like, just not even. I was still sort of nursing the embarrassment I felt from my last retail experience. I worked for a shoe store, not necessarily what I would consider high end. Everything was out on the shelf. You sort of helped yourself. Certainly, we would answer questions and, you know, check the back room for extra stock and that sort of thing. But it wasn't like Macy's where you go and sit down and they measure your foot for you and I won't say the name of the company because I don't know if I'm technically allowed to do that. But I had a customer who tried on a pair of sandals and then refused to remove them so I could cut the tags off so she could wear them out of the store. So it wasn't a problem that she wanted to wear them out of the store. That was fairly common and totally fine. But usually they either remove the tag themselves or they hand the shoes to me so I can go cut the tags off and you know, get them checked out and whatever. She stood there. She probably early 50s something woman. She stood there with her hands on her hips, snorting super impatiently at me. It was ridiculous. And she waited until I kneeled down at her feet to snip these tags off. I mean, she didn't even want to be bothered to like lift her foot to put it on a chair or something. I had to get down on the floor to snip the tags off her shoes. And I didn't want to deal with that type of person again. Now, honestly, when I sit back and think of it, I realize it's really unfair to paint everyone with that same brush. And I certainly had lots of great retail experiences. I met a lot of fun customers that I saw again and again, and we got to know each other on not a, you know, super deep basis or anything, but first names, and would ask, oh, how's the family, and basic things about each other. And that was nice. I really enjoyed that. But regardless, I didn't mention this idea of a yarn shop to a single soul, because even to me, it sounds absurd. Absurd in the best of times, let alone mid-pandemic. But I couldn't help it because mental images of my non-existent shop started to take over all of my free thoughts. My extra time, typically meaning late at night after everyone was hopefully quietly sleeping and not asking for the 17th snack of the day, was spent scouring Google for any information I could find from other shop owners. Was this a viable business? Where did the money come from? And could I do this on my own, just me, without a staff? So I started jokingly telling friends and family, oh, since I have so much yarn, I should just open up my own shop. I got some laughter from that, but not really a whole lot more. So I amped it up a little bit. Well, if I had a yarn shop, I'd want it to have an interesting name. Something witty. What do you think of Hookers and Needles? So that one got mixed responses, ranging from so funny, do it, to I don't think everyone would be on board with that. My husband tactfully informing me the clientele would be a bit different than what I was expecting, and I should reconsider my choice. My poor husband. As the frequency of conversations about my own yarn shop increased, he would say things he believed to be supportive. Well, maybe after everything is back to normal. Or we could do some more research. And something that seemed a bit less supportive to my one-track mind, where is all that money coming from? What about the kids? Perfectly logical questions. Back to my yarn store story. after a quick word from our sponsor. I painted this brilliant portrait of amazing financing options that would practically be thrown at my feet due to my incredible credit. Don't be fooled, by the way. It was in the crapper for many years, and that was a very hard one. A space that would allow me to bring the pint-sized people to work, where they could play quietly all day and not mess up a single thing. I was going in for the hard sell. Every question or concern had a positive, go get 'em answer. So finally, one afternoon, my husband said, "If you want to do this, I'll support you." Yes, I thought, yes. But it's your project. I'm not making any phone calls for you. Now, if you know me personally, you know that I don't make phone calls. Emails, text, online scheduling, done, fine, not a problem. The phone. Who even uses the phone anymore? Any household things requiring a phone call, my husband generally took care of. He was fine with it, usually. And I was totally fine with it, too. He knew what he was doing with that one statement. He was testing my commitment. So challenge accepted. I went into overdrive, scheduling viewings for storefronts, Zoom appointments with vendors, and oh my God, was there so much paperwork. Finding a location was extremely challenging. And by the way, I did use the phone. Now, the first couple storefronts we looked at were actually just down the street from my husband's job at the local university, and they were really nice and really out of budget. We were hoping that finding a place near his work would make sharing our one vehicle much easier in the future anyway, as he was working mostly from home at this point. Realizing that wasn't going to happen, I branched out, viewing locations a little farther away were not as nice, yet somehow still very out of budget. It was difficult not to be discouraged. Part of me wanted to be ridiculously reckless, pick the nicest place possible, and just do it. I wanted to just believe it would work. If you build it, they will come, right? It was that sort of mentality. The logical side of me did win out here. I couldn't face the possibility of putting my family in debt, even though I felt like I deserved this opportunity. That after years of waiting, working on jobs, taking time off to focus on family, setting my own personal desires aside, all of that had somehow entitled me to this opportunity. As luck would have it, an ad popped up in the local paper for a 350 square foot space within my budget. I called immediately. I don't think I had ever picked up the phone quite so fast. A polite gentleman answered, and I told him I was looking for a space for a yarn shop. If he was surprised, he certainly didn't let on over the phone. I had no idea what to expect, but when we walked in at the agreed upon time with the baby in tow, I was pleasantly surprised. The brand new flooring was covered in dust and drop cloths. A light, fresh paint smell still lingered. Despite being small in actual square footage and only having two tiny windows in the front room, it still felt light and welcoming. And I just knew that I had found my shop. The gentleman I spoke to on the phone was owner of both the building and the business that would be across the hall. He had said he envisioned the area for someone just needing a small office who didn't want to work out of their home anymore. But he was open to the idea of a shop. I really wanted to just say yes right away. But I understood that silent husband look of, please, let's discuss this first. The discussion lasted an entire 10 minutes for the ride home, to which we decided it was agreeable. My shop now had an actual home. Now, I should take a moment to backtrack here. Once my husband saw me buckle down, he did jump in to help, including making a couple phone calls on my behalf to clarify some tax information. Nobody likes having to deal with tax information. He should also be highly commended for the amount of flat pack shelving that he put together. And my older boys even jumped in and helped sanding down and painting some thrift store finds into relatively reasonable looking displays. And for any mistake that you can see on there, I covered it up with yarn anyway, so it's not a problem. However, I will be the first to admit that not everything fell into place the way I sold it to my husband, or to myself for that matter. The storefront, while reasonably priced, was too small to have all the kids there, especially with occupancy limits necessary for social distancing. Ultimately, we worked our schedules around one another, so someone was always free to be present for the kids. The baby was the only one that was going to come to the shop with me, which initially was fine because he wasn't actually mobile. Follow the shop on Instagram, though, to see what happened once he was moving a little bit more, especially if you like to see piles of yarn on the ground. That yarn, by the way, which didn't even have a home when it first arrived. Yeah, that's right. So the yarn arrived before the shelving arrived. And then there was just boxes of everything everywhere. It was crazy. We had to keep like shuffling boxes of yarn around to make space to open the boxes of the flat pack furniture to lay it out, to put it together. It was a bit like Tetris in here for a while. Eventually, though, it all came together. And the day that all the shelving was done and I could start putting all these colorful, squishy balls of yarn out on them, oh, it was a glorious day. So speaking of that yarn that I had to put on the shelf, the budget for which quadrupled after my first call with a vendor who informed me that while it was possible, my budget was kind of low. And then, of course, there was my mother. When I actually told her, which I avoided doing for the first month after opening, I think she had an inkling, but, you know, whatever. And she responded with a little less enthusiasm than what I had first expected, saying, "What made you open an actual shop instead of doing something online?" I know that she's definitely proud of me, and that statement was made more out of concern for the current state of the world and that she was not questioning my capability. But still, after all of this, I had opened my doors very quietly. We barely advertised. Just a few flyers went up on community boards in places like the library and the grocery store, a few other local businesses. I set up a Facebook page and I put my information on Google. The first several weeks, I would come in and I would sit alone, working on some small sample item for the store or just hanging around and playing with the baby. Part of me did start to wonder if I had made that absurd choice after all. And then one day it happened. People. It was so exciting. We saw your flyer at the grocery store, and it's so exciting to have a yarn shop here. Or I was driving by and I saw the sheep on the door and I just couldn't believe it and I had to stop. You popped up on my Facebook feed. How long have you been here? You're like the best kept secret. Or my favorite. It's so brave of you to open a yarn shop. Brave. Should I consider knitting myself some chainmail? Did my customers know something I didn't? I think the statement sticks with me over many other of these statements because I heard it multiple times. Check back with me sometime, and I'll be sure to let you know if I ended up needing that chainmail. So, are they saying this because as much as they like yarn, they still consider this an absurd endeavor? Or perhaps is it a statement they'd give to anyone foolish enough to start a business in 2020? Regardless, it's probably something that will stick with me permanently. Regardless of whether or not my story is remarkable to anyone else, it's remarkable to me. And I kind of do feel a little brave. Yeah, maybe not the chainmail needing kind of brave, though. The fluffy sheep is now going into month 9. And even though I sometimes say we, it really is still just me. No staff yet. My husband helps when I ask, but pretty much leaves me to run the business as I see fit. I've started offering classes and even brought in some members from the community to help me teach. I've also been working on sourcing local goods from dyers who live right in the area to people that sew project bags. So that's been something really exciting for me, and I think speaks on a personal level to what I would like to see in this shop, that it's not just about the yarn, but it's also about highlighting the makers that live right here in our own backyard. I feel that's really important. And hopefully that will continue. I'm looking forward to being in business for a long time. Now, I should take a moment to say that I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, so I don't want someone to listen to this and think that I got this off the ground and, oh, it's running perfectly. I am very lucky to be in a position where it's okay that my business is not yet turning a profit, and I hope that next year that will be the case. But stay tuned. I'll let you guys know. So I can't wait to make another episode. Hopefully, you found listening to this one enjoyable and interesting. If there is anything that you would like to have discussed or that you have a question about, anything fiber related, go ahead and drop me a line. I also would really like to start highlighting other makers. So if there is a Facebook or an Instagram that you think people should be following because someone's doing something, you know, really cool and inspiring, I would love to hear about them and highlight them on a future episode. Fluff On, a podcast for all things yarn, is brought to you by The Fluffy Sheep, a teeny hole-in-the-wall yarn shop proudly serving the community of Berwick, Pennsylvania and surrounding areas. Find The Fluffy Sheep on Facebook to see what we're up to or follow us on Instagram. Our handle is TheFluffySheep109. Thanks for listening.